Well, good morning. Nice to see you all here. Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this sixth Sunday of Pentecost will be taken from the letter to the Ephesians. Letter to the Ephesians, and we're going to read from chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 1 through 10. And this is a very powerful part of Scripture. I mean, obviously, all Scripture is powerful. But you have to understand, Paul, being who he was, where he came from, for him to really be speaking to the church in Ephesus in this way is the hand of God. There's no way around it. And grace is such a key element. Such a key element. And as I've shared with you 110 times, but I'm going to keep saying it to you, C.S. Lewis was at a conference. He was there with a bunch of theologians. And he asked the question, what makes Christianity any different than any other religion in the world? What makes Christianity different? He said, in all those people in that room, and you could hear crickets. Some of the greatest minds. And then the answer was given. Grace. Grace is unthinkable for human beings. Unmerited favor. You did nothing for it. And this text really brings that about in a very powerful way. So you can remain seated. This is an epistle teaching. And so we will read from chapter 2 of Ephesians, beginning at verse 1, continuing in Jesus' name. And you were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience. Among whom we all once lived in our passions, in our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And has raised up us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show his immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not of your own doing, it is a gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no man may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is your word that is before us. And we ask, Father, that by the strength of the Spirit, that you would speak to us through this word. That you would allow that we would be set apart, even for a moment, to hear of your truth. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. We ask this in his name. Amen. It's kind of interesting. I kind of like how this text opens up. It opens up with you. We are pretty self-centered people. Maybe you're not. Maybe somehow you found a remedy for it. But you know, if I was to take and bring all of us outside right here, and we were all to line up against the building, and we took a picture, and then we blew up that picture, and we put it in the fellowship hall next week, and you come in there. Who's the first person that you probably look for? Me. Was my hair right? Did I look good? How tubby am I looking? I don't know. There's a lot of things, but we have a tendency to focus on ourselves. Understandable. We're pretty important to ourselves because without us, we're not here. But the reality of it is, now, he opens in this way, dealing directly with us. And so Paul says, and you were dead. He says, but how were you dead? Actually, it's an interesting thing here. He uses two words. He uses one that is in trespasses and sins. Trespasses and sins. And it's kind of interesting because we could say, well, it's all the same thing. No, it's actually not the same thing. The word sins basically comes from more of an archery term, and it basically means to miss the mark. We all probably have heard that, miss the mark. And there's no archer, except maybe Steve Erickson, that's totally perfect. Are you totally perfect? No, so he's not even. You know, you take 20 shots, you miss one, you miss the mark. You still miss the mark. And so we live in this fallen world, we live in fallen bodies, and we do miss the mark quite often. And that's really what this is saying. But the reality of it is also this word transgressions that's there. We can understand it more in an aspect of trespassing. And we understand when we're trespassing, we're actually trotting in areas that we should not trot in. We're walking in areas that we shouldn't walk in. We have a purpose in being there. And really what this is calling about is not only just missing the mark, but now serving in that miss. Serving, as we would call it, sin. So this is what really is bringing about this death, this fallenness, yes, for missing the mark, but what really brings death is when we continue to live in that. And that's very, very powerful. He says, so you were. And the other question that we come about is, okay, we've had funerals here and they're sad. There's no doubt about that. I'm not trying to make light of that. But what do the people in the caskets do? Nothing. And what can they do for themselves? Nothing. And so really, this is what he's saying. Paul is saying, do you know how paralyzed you were? You were bound to this flesh, and you kept continuing in trespasses. You kept living in this fallenness. He says, you couldn't do anything for yourself. And it's amazing. Because we have religions that are built up on doing certain steps or trying to make amends to God by doing certain things. And that's what I mean by C.S. Lewis saying, what is so amazing about Christianity? Grace. Unmerited favor. God so loved you. And this is the whole reality of it. God loves you. God loves everybody. He loves them so much that he actually came in the form of Christ Jesus, and he in reality died for each and every one. Sometimes we put dividing lines in there as human beings. Well, you know, God died for this side of the room because they're trying to do the right things, but this side of the room, you're a little questionable. That's just random. It could be the other way. God knew. He knew what I was. He understands my fallenness. He knows I can't make it on my own. He knows that I can't achieve it. And he still came. It doesn't mean that we have to accept false doctrines. And we think false doctrines, that's only like you're talking church. No, there's a lot of false doctrines of men out there. Whether it just be in worldly things or whatever else, there's just a lot of false doctrines out there. The reality of it is that God understands that there's a lot of people that are following these things. But he still loves them. And we are to love them too. Oh, now you're just being too liberal, Pastor. Really? I don't know the innermost thoughts of your mind. I don't know it. And I thank God that you don't know the innermost thoughts of my mind at all times. But God does. And he loves you. And yes, he'd call us out of those trespasses. He'd call us out of those dark places. That's what he desires. But it doesn't change his love for his creation. There's good and bad behavior in this world. There's no way around that. But my behavior isn't more justified than anybody else's. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. And then there is the key. For whosoever believeth. Faith is such an important element of our walk. It is such an important element of our walk. do we believe? And when we are believing, what are we actually doing? What are we believing in? We're believing above and beyond our circumstances that Christ Jesus died for us. We're not believing I can do the right steps. We're not believing that I can improve myself enough to become acceptable. We are believing in reality, in spite of myself, Christ Jesus died for me. He loves me. He paid this debt. If it's good for you, if it's true for you, is it not true for another? Maybe they don't know it yet. Maybe we're the gospel that they'll hear. Maybe we're the gospel they'll see. I don't know. But it doesn't say, for God so loved some people. Or God so loved, you know, one political party or another. God so loved this world, He gave His only Son. Yes, I'm passionate about this. Because we need to understand and know how valued we are in the eyes of our Creator. We get so stinking excited, don't we? We go about as carpenters or as cake bakers or things like that, and we create something and we stand back and say, oh, you look at that. Isn't that wonderful? God created you. He created me. He looked at it all. And He said, it is good. He didn't create junk. It is good. But we're pretty human. I'm one of the most human that could be, I suppose. Because I'll create something. God will allow me to use my talents to create something. And I think a lot of guys can relate to this. What's the first thing you do when someone comes and looks at it? Well, I could have done better here. Or I really should have done something here. You know, just things like that. We have a tendency to be critical. God's not that way. God created you, and He said, it is good. He has made you in His image. The world wants to tell you what other image you're made in. The world wants you to question everything about yourself. But the reality of it is, God has given you life. And He's given it to you abundantly. And so Paul is trying to come into Ephesus, and he's trying to say, we understand who we were before. He's not excluding himself from this. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was against the way of Christ Jesus. He understands that. But God called him out of that. And God is calling all of us. He says, you are dead. He says, you had no ability to help yourself. You were caught up in your continuous transgressions because of this fallenness of sin. He says, and you walked, actually following the course of this world. Do we? I know as a young man, I definitely did. Absolutely. The world has a tendency to train you, especially if you step outside of the church or if your parents don't bring you to church and things like that. Your vision becomes more, as you would say, a world vision. And you think, well, this is good, this is bad, this isn't, this isn't. I remember very plainly being in junior high school. I remember plainly thinking abortion's nothing. Because they taught it to us that way. Oh, that's offensive, I'm sure. We didn't see it as life because it wasn't taught to us that way. We can't hang on to our world vision. Our answers are not found in this world. Our answers are not found in our governments. Our answers are not found in these things. God's allowed them. But our answers are in Christ Jesus. Scripture says very plainly, while you were in the womb, I knew you. There is value to life. And that's what Scripture brings out, that there is a value to life. Each and every one of us is fearfully and wonderfully made. And the world says, the way you're made isn't quite right. You need to be this, or you need to be that. They want to go all the way down to grade school and start getting people to question how they're made. And that is sad. That is sad. So walking in the course of this world, you know, in other words, living out the way we want to live or what feels good to our flesh, it's just amazing. That's often how we are as human beings. And then, in truthfulness, we blame God. Well, it felt right. Really. It felt right. What does that mean? And so they can break off marriages. They can, you know, partake in things that nobody should partake in. They can do all this because it feels right. Do you really want to be governed by your emotions? How stable are your emotions? I know mine. One minute I can be happy as ever, oh, things are great. And then next minute I can feel like, oh, I can't stand this person. Next minute I can feel like, oh, I don't even have any value. Why am I even trying? Trying to be governed by emotions, and then you try to put this on a young child, is even worse yet. We're not following the course of the world. We look above and beyond this world to Christ Jesus and Him alone. This is how we look. He says, so you were once following the course of this world. He says, actually, the prince of the air. In other words, the adversary. This is what you were chasing after. He was deceiving you. He was allowing you to just follow this. He says, and you were really the sons of disobedience. Of disobedience. And I love how Paul brings this out. He says, don't think any of us are off the hook for this. Left to our own devices, we're just as guilty. What this does to me is says, I am no better than you. And I am no worse than you. I'm a transgressor. I'm a sinner in need of grace. And God says, yes, you are. And I have just the remedy for you. Too many times we have a tendency to think, well, I'm not as bad as that guy. Or, wow, that guy's amazing. Now, you may think I'm crazy on this, but there's many people that when they find out I'm a pastor, they start going through this whole process of, oh, I'm sorry I said this, or I did this, or I did this, or why I don't go to church, or what. I'm as human as you. It's not about me. It's about Christ Jesus and Him alone. He says, we all lived in these passions of our flesh, carrying out what we wanted to do in the body and the mind. He says, really, by nature, by this fallen flesh, this sinful flesh, he says, we were children of wrath, just like the rest of mankind. Do you see any division in here? So maybe we ought not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought, right? Is that what Paul says? Don't think of yourselves more than you should. You're not any better than anybody else. Left to our own devices. He says, and they always say there's no buts in life, but I remember Pastor Jay would always say, there is here. There is here. This is who you were. This is how you walked. This is how you lived. But God. But God, being rich in mercy. Do you hear this other side? He loves you so much. He loves them so much. He loves all of us so much. He was rich in mercy, right? Because of the great love with which He loved us. He says, even when we were living in that dead state, in our trespasses, notice it doesn't say anything about sin here, missing the mark. It's saying trespasses. In other words, living in this unfavorable position, He gave us life. He gave us a new hope. Really, what He says here is He's resurrected. He resurrected you from your fallenness, from your sinfulness, and He gives you this new hope. He says, man. He says He was so rich in His mercy and grace and love towards us that when we were in our dead flesh, in our trespasses, in our repetitive behavior, He made us alive together with Christ. He gave His Son for each and every one. And then He just kind of gives this little snippet in here. He doesn't fully go into it. He just brings it out in this way. He says, by grace you have been saved. Do you believe that? Unmerited favor that you did not do anything for. That, I don't know sometimes if I grasp it. I mean, come on, I did go to seminary for 4 years. That's pretty good, right? I mean, I have been preaching for at least 16, 18 years. That's got to be something, huh? I mean, I do pray a lot. What are your little things that you hang on to? The truth of it is, why did I go to seminary? It's not a plug for the seminary. God called me. Whether someone agrees or disagrees, that's their business. They can argue with God on that. Why do I pray a lot? Not to become a Christian. Because I'm a Christian, the Spirit calls me and beckons me to pray. See, the world tells us if you want to be the best athlete, you have to put in all the effort and you got to become the best athlete. And then we carry that into every single trade that we have. We want to be the best welder, best construction worker, want to be the best whatever it may be, painter. We put in the time, we work the effort, and we become the best. But actually, in Christianity, upon faith, God allows us to grow and mature in the Word, in prayer, in service, in all of these things. We don't do any of these things to become a Christian. We, in reality, do these fruits because we are a Christian. God, it is Christ in you. Christ in you. See, that's the whole thing that I even talked about last week when I was, or I think it was last week, I talked about when I shared with the confirmation class. What makes you a Christian? And they labeled all these things, and they were wonderful things. They're all good things. But they are all me doing something. But really, what makes you a Christian is Christ in you. And now Christ in you, you are able to do these things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all else will be added from you. Seek Christ. He says, you've been saved. By grace you have been saved. He says, and not only that, he says, you're raised up with him. This is talking about that empty tomb. That Christ was crucified for our death, for our debt. He paid the penalty of all of our sin. And then on that third day, he is resurrected. And in that resurrection, by grace through faith, we also receive that resurrection. That we have new life in him. He said he raised you up. And where does he have you seated? In heavenly places. Your name is written in the book of life. You are seated. You are represented in heaven. You know, I shared that with you one time when I talked to one of my professors. I'm like, man, it's like you're already living in heaven. Like, you don't even know the reality. He says, I am. Because the scripture tells me very plainly that I am seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Do we live like that? Do we understand that? Do we see who we are as the child of God? He says, so you have been seated in heavenly places so that in the coming ages he, Christ Jesus, God the Father, might continue to show his immeasurable riches of grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. I think this is amazing. The Gospel of John says very plainly that when Christ comes, he came to give grace upon grace. It says it very plainly in the King James. What does that mean? Grace upon grace. God pours out immeasurable grace for us. Pastor, you're making it kind of easy. It means anybody could come. Yes. Now, receiving this grace, how will you live? That's the question. Not how will you live to get the grace. I know how I lived to get grace. I lived like a heathen. An unbeliever. And God reveals his love and his mercy towards me. And that in reality opens the eyes. Paul says in another part of the scripture, brothers, do you not know it is the goodness of God that calls a man to repentance? It's the goodness of God. God is good. And he loves you. And yes, he is going to call for change in your life. I can't give you that change. I can't predict to you how it's going to change. But being obedient to his word and being obedient to his spirit, you will see change come in your life. I know there is. There's things in my life that I felt very free to do before, and now I'm not. And I feel that there are things when I became religious that were very bad for me to do, and now in Christ I realize I have liberty. I'm not your taskmaster. I just proclaim the gospel. I pray Scott just proclaims the gospel. I pray that every preacher proclaims the gospel. But God infuses that grace into the heart of the believer. He is the one to infuse that. And when that takes place, our lives will be conformed to the image of his Son. And so he says very plainly, he wants to show us this immeasurable kindness towards us of his grace in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on even stronger. He says, for by grace, unmerited favor, have you been saved through faith. Through faith. He says, it's not your own doing. You didn't work for this. You didn't earn it. It's not meritorious. He says, you didn't earn this. He says, it's a gift of God. He says, it's not a result of works. Because you know what we would do? Jesse would get up here and boast to you. You know what I've done? They say, I don't know, I wasn't alive, obviously, or I wasn't around it, but they said that years and years ago, a bunch of guys were having a conversation, and my great-grandfather, Matty Aho, was in the conversation, and they were talking about what they've done for the Lord. All the things that they've done for the Lord. And they asked him, they said, Matty, you've been a preacher for 30-some-odd years. What did you do for the Lord? And he looked at him and he said, I crucified. There are things in Christ that'll be done, but that's not you. That's Christ in you. The way I like to say it is, I like to take credit where credit's not due. I like to turn around and say, as a human being, these things I have done. So I'm going to tell you this straight out. Anything bad you see, I actually did that. I did that. Anything good that you may see, that's Christ Jesus. That's him in you. We are the children of God. We are Christians because Christ dwells within us by the power of his Spirit. We're not Christians by all the mighty works we do. And this is what he's trying to say. He says, I want you to understand, for by grace have you been saved through faith, not of your own doing. It is a gift of God. God loves you. He gives you the most precious thing that you could ever receive. But can we love another? Now you think, well, where's he going with this? We're going to have a lot of opportunity in the next few months to love opposition. Doesn't mean we love the opposition, but we love the people. There's going to be a lot of differing opinions, a lot of different struggles. Who knows, we might even see another pandemic again. But it's going to be an opportunity for us to show love in spite of the fallenness of this world. Our life, our livelihood, and our salvation is not founded in this world. Our life, our livelihood, and our salvation is founded in God the Father through Christ Jesus. May we be a light in this world that will continue to get dark. May we be an encourager. May we speak the truth, but speak it in love. And may we have the ability to actually say what Scripture says. You know, it's an interesting thing. Even when I went through the last pandemic, I had some of my best friends criticizing the way we handled it. And that's fine. They have every opinion in the world to do that. But now that we're, what, 4 years from that, we see there was a lot of false things said. We need to have our eyes open, our ears open. And we need to have our heart set on the Word of God. I wasn't trying to be any kind of stupid hero. I'm just me. But if the world was really coming to an end, we're not going to stop preaching the gospel. We're going to preach, no matter what, because that's what the world needs to hear. And if God so wills to take my life, I have heaven to gain. So why are we so afraid? Don't let fear rule you. Love, encourage, and understand God has given you grace. He says, you know, we are His workmanship. We are created for His good works. Go. He says, God has prepared you for good works, and you should walk in them. And I really was wondering about that. I'm like, what does this mean to walk in His good works? Walk in His strength. Walk in His integrity. And we're going to have that opportunity more and more. I'm not going to read it, but the first 10 verses of chapter 8 are the woman that was caught in adultery. And that's a very unfair trial. No man was ever brought to Jesus. Only the woman was dragged out of the bedroom, dragged through all the streets, dragged and basically into a Bible study, thrown in the center of the crowd. And they're like, look at her. Jesus, what do you say? The scripture says we should stone her. The scripture says the man should be stoned too. Typical, right? They didn't care about this woman. They didn't care about the integrity of the word. They only wanted to trap Jesus. They were using all the information falsely to try to cause issue. And Jesus says, let him without sin cast the first stone. He answers it in that way. Okay. Just like me, if I told you I'm a piece of work and I deserve nothing but death, but the first one of you without sin can throw the first punch. Who could? It shuts them all up. They all walk away. But this is what he says to her. He says, woman, where are they? Where are your accusers? Is there anyone here to condemn you? And she says, no, Lord. And Jesus says this to her. He says, I don't condemn you either. This is God speaking. I don't condemn you either. He says, but go and sin no more. Walk in the works that God has given you. How do you do that? And how does she go and sin no more? Our sin is blotted out with the blood of Christ. Christ in you. That's what transforms us to perfect people. It is Christ in you. So now the question we have is, do we listen to our voice? Or do we listen to the Spirit of God? I pray in the next few months, next year, and the rest of our lives, that we listen to the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, and we love unconditionally, but we stand on truth. We don't take the world vision. We have a Christ vision. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise and we thank you for this opportunity to gather around your word today. And Father, we thank you for your graciousness that is poured out in the scriptures throughout, but yet Ephesians brings it so strongly. We are saved by grace through faith. It is not by our own works, not by our own ability. And Father, may we lean solely on that, especially when we start questioning and doubting even in our own life. May we turn to your word. May we find encouragement through your Spirit. And may we encourage one another. Now, the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. And the Lord lift his countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.